pray for all the things you have shared in your Bible. And this is one of the smallest chapter that talks so much about you and how you address things and the way we are as people. And I say that maybe let this word in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this time around I'm trying to do something a little bit different. Rather than reading the whole chapter, the whole portion, today's portion is about Genesis 4, the whole chapter from 1 verse 1 to 26. It's about Adam's son. So what we're going to do is basically talk about three sections of the chapter. These are the main sections of the chapter. Cain kills Abel, Cain's family, and Adam's new son, Seth. So before we go into a little bit more detail, I was thinking about this portion for the week, and I was thinking, what is a good way of capturing this thing? So, you know, I used an example. If I had one of my sons kill my other son, how would I react to it? And how would I, because I love all my children the same, and everyone's individual, and everyone's, I care for them deeply. And so, and the purpose I want us to think like that is, as a parent, you want to put yourself and say, what is Cain, how is God and Adam reacting to what Cain and Abel are doing? So basically, I wanted us to look at that and just talk about Cain and Abel. The classic story is Cain brought a sacrifice, the older son of fruit, and Abel, the second one, brought a sacrifice. He was a shepherd, and he brought a sacrifice of an animal. And God liked Abel's sacrifice over Cain, and Cain gets jealous and kills Abel. God judges him, and then he talks about Cain's family, and then he talks about Adam's new son, Seth. So that's the chapter. So the first part, Cain kills Abel. I just talked about some of the highlights. Cain, he's the firstborn. He's the tiller of the ground. He's offering the fruits of the ground, the first fruits of the ground, and God doesn't receive Cain's sacrifice. Abel is the secondborn. Killer of the sheep, firstborn of his flock, and their fat, and God received Abel's sacrifice. In this portion, if you were to read from, let's say from, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 10. So, Genesis 4 from verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time her brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass, Cain brought up an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and Abel and Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And this is the verse I want us to focus on in this portion. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, since sin lies at the door, and it desires, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. But Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So here I say, Abel is merely described. So we know what Abel is. We know he's a secondborn. We know he's a shepherd. And we know, his sacrifice was accepted by Christ, by God. And in verse 10 it says, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So Abel, the only time he's conversing with God is after he dies. And so in verse 6 and 7, we see that Cain, the Lord provides counsel to Cain, because as a father, when you see your sons, you know they have certain tendencies. And God, as a gracious God, warns Cain, just be careful what you're thinking about. You know, if you do well, I'll accept your sacrifice as well. But if you do not well, sin lies at the door. This is where I think we need to take an account too. And many times we, as believers, we get envious, we get upset, and we want to do things, and we're even having mere thoughts of it. And in many ways, it's a good warning for all of us: is sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. So you're not desiring sin. Sin is desiring for you. It shows that there's a behavior, a need that sin is. It wants to come into you. And we saw that when Eve ate the apple, that sin entered the earth. It wasn't that sin was brought into the earth. Sin entered into the earth. And then in Genesis 4, from verses 9 to 15, here God talks to Cain after Cain killed Abel. From verse 19, it judges Cain, saying that, so now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened your mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And it goes on and it says, when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And then Cain negotiates with God. So one of the things I want to point out in verse 9 in Genesis 4 is that, then the Lord said to Cain, after Cain killed Abel, where is Abel your brother? So this is again, we talked about when Adam and Eve sinned. He doesn't say, what did you do? He basically starts off with a question, because then, and then Cain says, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And, Cain there lies. He knows exactly. And then God goes, what have you done? So God knows. And so it's very interesting that God communicates with Cain before he sins, which is to be expected. There's a relationship, but God also communicates with Cain after he kills Abel. So in many ways, it shows that when God threw out Adam and Eve out of Garden of Eden, he was still communicating with these sinful creatures, if you may, his sinful creation, and he was able to work with them. And what took me back is in verse 6 and 7, where God talks to Cain and says, and warns him, why is your countenance fallen? It shows you that God wants to have a relationship with man, even though man now is with sin. And he also knows that Cain is thinking bad thoughts. He's angry. And Cain is not really angry at Abel as well, if you realize. Cain is angry at God because he didn't take his sacrifice. Even then, God communicates with us. And to me, as we heard this morning about the great white throne and things like that, all these things will be brought up in front of us. As sinners, when a sinner dies and he doesn't know our Savior, he goes to the great white throne where he or she will be judged for all the sins. And even then, I think one of the other things that will be very interesting is when God says, I've tried to reach out to you, by here, and you rejected me all these times, and most of all, you rejected my son, I don't think we'll be able to say anything here. Because even now, when I look at this portion about Cain, it talks about God having that communication with Cain. And then Cain has the audacity to not only did he sin by killing his brother, which is far more egregious than, disobeying God at the Garden of Eden, but he also lies to God, saying, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? But then he says to God, my punishment is greater than I can bear. it doesn't matter that he disobeyed, that he took his brother's sin, but he's able to, he has the, as they say, you know, the guts or the chutzpah to talk to God about what he, okay, this punishment you gave me is not fair. I need to talk. And we don't see that, you know, if someone says, my kids say that to me, go to your room. My son doesn't go, that's too bad. Even then, I've made up my mind, he's going to go to his room. But even then, it shows God's grace where he says, okay, you know. So he says, and God said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. So even then, God says, okay, your punishment is too great. So that, to me, an entity, so here, this chapter is very interesting because it only sees Cain. Cain is the only one talking to God, and God talks to Cain. Everything else is a narrative. And to me, what's amazing is the man with sin, Cain, what he's able to do, and he doesn't realize, Cain doesn't realize he's talking to God. And God himself, who created the earth in merely 6 days, is wanting to have that relationship with Cain, and actually even has the patience to negotiate with Cain. So the next part, you know, we talk, these are some of the things I talk about as I go into the PowerPoint. And the reason I have these PowerPoints is some of the points that I bring out, which may not be mentioned in this because due to the time constraint, people can go in and look at some of the things I talk about in more detail. So after Cain killed Abel, you know, God questions him, and we talked about Abel's blood, we talked about God's judgment, we talked about Cain's negotiation with God, and then we look at Genesis 4:16, we see that Cain moved to Nod, that's east of Eden. To me, what it seems like, it's very symbolic in the sense that Cain and Adam and Eve just were moved out of the Garden of Eden, but Cain takes the initiative of moving out of, completely out, and goes into the land of Nod. And it could be because of the judgment he was given, but I also see it's symbolic that his sin was more grievous than what Adam and Eve did. In God's eyes, sin is sin, any way you look at it, but when you're in the great white throne, your sins will be, you'll be judged according to your sins. So in many ways, people say, how can you say all sin is sin, but at the great white throne, you see God judges you on your sins. And this is a good example of it. So if I was in, let's say God is in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve left Garden of Eden because I pushed them out, as God, I pushed them out. In God's eyes, either you're in the Garden of Eden or you're outside. But from Cain's point of view, or Adam and Eve's point of view, there is the Garden of Eden. That's where they are. And now Cain is moving away even further. So as an individual, when we sin, we see what the severity of the sin. You know, if people say, well, Hitler was a horrible sinner compared to all the people he killed and what he caused, compared to my own son or daughter who stole a cookie. In God's eyes, sin is sin, but we have to, but God is a God of just. So, any questions on that part? Any comments so far? Okay. So then, from verse 4, Genesis chapter 4, verse 17, Cain married, had a son called Enoch, and named a city after Enoch. And what this shows us is Cain had a daughter, whom Adam and Eve had a daughter, whom Cain married, and Cain built a city. So one of the things we talked about is why did Cain build a city, you know? And people say that maybe he wanted to build his own garden. You know, that's human version of the garden. He didn't want to, you know, he wanted a place to reside. He didn't always kind of run away. I also see it as a way of the city being a precursor to the Tower of Babel, you know, man making their own version of it so that they could be with God. The other thing I also thought about was Cain, if the city is big enough, you can hide in a city. And, you know, there's a good example of the cities of refuge in the Bible. And so Cain thought, you know, people, if they want to come after me, I'm going to go hide in a city. Because if you think about it, it doesn't really make sense why Cain would build a city. It's very, I think, peculiar that Cain builds the city. And this passage is about Cain killing Abel, and then it talks about Cain's legacy, and then it talks about Seth. So in many ways, the city and the whole Cain's lineage is an interesting one. So what I've done here is I've captured Cain's genealogy. You know, Cain had Enoch, Irad, Mehujael, Methushael, Lamech, and then talks about Lamech having two wives, Ada and Zilhah. And, you know, then I basically took the stuff from the portion. So Lamech had a son called Jubal. He's the father of those who live in tents and livestock. And the interesting thing about that caught my attention is when his great-great-great-grandfather built a city, Jabal was the father who lives in tents and has a livestock. So it was basically a nomad. In many ways, I see this person as a nomad. And then Jubal, father of those who play the harp and the flute. And in many ways, you're like, okay, what is the significance of that piece? And then the second wife had Tubal Cain, who was the instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And so it's interesting. So the way I saw it, and if any brother has any comment, or the observation I made from here is that the first wife had two sons, which in many ways foreshadow some of the things that Christ. You know, Christ was a shepherd, you know, David and all the livestock, you know, it's like Abel was unlike Cain, who was a farmer, Abel had livestock, and then Jubal, his brother, was the father of the harp and the flute. So it's very interesting because the first wife, I see that having kids in many ways being more symbolic of what God, and then the second wife having a son is more into iron and bronze, warfare, killing, building the city, and you know, and then the second portion in verse 23 talks about Lamech killed a man who wounded him, and it's basically anyone killing Lamech will be avenged 77 times in Genesis 4, verse 23 and 24. So. It's interesting. So I thought it was very interesting just looking at this, why this portion was there. So, and then the last portion was in Genesis 4, 25 and 26. It doesn't talk much. And it's not, there's no communication with Seth, unlike Abel. And basically the scripture says there was another son and Seth had Enosh. And then the last part in the verse is, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. So before, after Abel, and then Cain, the other thing that to realize is these people, Cain's offspring really didn't call on anyone. And they didn't call on the name of the Lord. And they led a life, which is pretty much sin-driven, Lamech killing another person, and then negotiating. So that behavior of sinful behavior was very resonant in Cain's lineage. So I looked at the three sections again, and if I was to call them, I would say it's Abel's death, Cain's legacy, Seth as the new beginning. And in many ways, it is the way our salvation is. Abel's death in the sense that when Adam sinned, he was perfect, he sinned. So in many ways, that pure man died. And that's why I think Abel never talks in the scripture is because he was the man, the sinless man, because God had a relationship with him. And only God says, his voice speaks to me. It doesn't talk. And when we talk about Cain's legacy, which is man after the fall, you know, what, how man lives without God. That's why you had all the lineage, you had all those things, and Seth as the new beginning. And this is where God again shows, yes, things were lost, but now I care about you, I want to work with you, and I want to bring you up. So this is, I think, when I was preparing for this thing, and what we heard this morning in the Lord's Supper was very poignant, because in many ways, Christ is a way for us to have that new beginning. So what I did here is I did a quick comparison of the three sons of Abel. So Abel's name means breath. He's also called the first man of faith. I call it symbolic of man before sin. And Abel is merely mentioned by the birth order. He was a second born. He was an occupation. He owned livestock. His sacrifice to God. So if people say, what was Abel's mistake? And what God can say is, your sacrifice, you know, his sacrifice to God and his own sacrifice were special. And his death. And, you know, his death, the way he died. To me, that's a picture of Christ. Because if I was to say, do we know Christ's birth order? Yes. And I see that also. We know exactly where he was born. We have a full lineage of it. Do we know his occupation? Yes. He was a carpenter. His sacrifice to God, his life as a sacrifice, you know, the way he lived, and his death on the cross. So in many ways, Abel is God, is a symbol of Christ without sin. So Abel is a man without sin, and it serves as symbolic of man without sin. Cain means acquired from God. It's basically, even the name means it was something that was acquired. It was worked for God. It wasn't given. He was the first man of the world, symbolic of man after sin. And the thing that caught my attention is Cain communicates with God before and after sinning. And that's also true about the fallen man, because God in many ways has communicated to people. I would say God communicated to me when he was trying to reach out to me to tell me that his son died for me. And so God, you know, there's a communication. If God did not communicate with a sinner, then we wouldn't be here. But there's that ongoing communication, and Cain sets up cities, and his family is mentioned. That's the other thing I saw that was very interesting. And I talked about why Cain sets up cities, and his family is mentioned. I believe his family was mentioned because the behavior that we see in Cain is explicitly shown, not implicitly shown, to his family. And Lamech is a good example, where he uses the same negotiation, like, you know, whoever kills me, will be avenged 77 times. It wasn't a random behavior. You know, so it is something, it's the other thing to show is that what people say, you know, in science we say there's anomalies or randomness, but with sin, it's very predictive on how people will behave. And the most interesting part about this is that when we look at Abel, we look at Cain, we say that I can relate to Cain, and I also can relate to Abel. Cain, when I do something wrong, or when there's sin in my life, I get jealous. I get envious. I really want to hurt that person. And you know, those are things that we could say, oh, I totally get what Cain is saying. And we also say that when God judges us, or there's consequence to anything we do, we say, that was too harsh. Let me negotiate. But you know what the interesting thing about Cain, as if we were to relate ourselves with Cain? God's communication with us as a sinner is Christ. God says, believe in Christ, you'll be restored. If not, you go to hell. And with Abel, we could say, you know, that is the ideal person I can be. You know, I have that relationship, everything I do. But in many ways, we cannot relate to him. So the beauty of the scripture I see is, if Abel talked or had any communication in the scriptures, you would have said, okay, I can see this part. But when Abel doesn't talk, it shows that the ideal man that we should be And the only ideal man we have ever in this universe was Christ. He was sinless. And only, so if many ways, if we say Abel was Christ, then we can see what type of person he was. Seth, the last person, the scriptures in this chapter only mention two verses of it. First man of hope, he was appointed. He was symbolic of the new beginning. And then, this is a picture of what we are in Christ. So Abel, what we should have been before sin, Cain, what we are with sin, and what we will be is a symbol of Seth. And so when I go back and talk about Seth had Enos, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. As sinners, did we ever call on the name of the Lord? We would if we were very desperate, but to always call on the name of the Lord and have him as the center of our life. So then key verses here I talk about Genesis 4:7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And these are the ones I talked about. Sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So God says here, sin is at the door. Sin wants to come into your life, but you have the power to rule over it. And when we have Christ, we have even greater power to reject it. Without Christ, it's not you should rule over it. You are consumed by it. You are a sinful person. Genesis 4:26. Then this is where I talk about then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And in Romans 5:12, I highlighted the part, the last part, because all sinned, right? Therefore, just as one man entered through the world, death through sin, and thus death spread all to all men because of all sin. So in Abel, he was killed. That was death. In Cain and his legacy, a lot of people died, and there was actually murder. And we don't see that even set in this portion. And then in Hebrews 12:24, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. He's the mediator or the negotiator between us and God. Unlike what God did with Cain, you know, where Cain was able to negotiate with God, Jesus is our mediator, and his blood, you know, speaks of forgiveness compared to the blood of Abel, which cries out to the Lord for vengeance. And Hebrews 11:24, I'm just going to read it. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of all his gift, and through it, he being dead still speaks. So this is where Abel, you know. Abel, so in many ways, what God did with Abel, he's not mentioned much in the Bible, but he was killed. And the way he lived is, and the way he died is mentioned in the Bible. And that, in many ways, is what we say. We talk about the missionaries to Ecuador. We've read books about them. People, my kids have read, know about them. But what they're mentioned is they gave their life for Christ. And in many ways, we should be like Abel as well. We should try to live. A sinless life, you know, that's impossible. But do the best we can. If anything bad happens to us, we have to see that it is something we're doing for Christ. Because if I led the best life I came to church every day and nothing happened to me, you know, that's good. But if I led a good Christian life, a family member dies, I get sick, or things like that. Should we say that God does not love me, or should we say there is sin in our lives? We need to examine ourselves if there's sin in our lives, but we should live the way and see it as a way of God trying us and being a testimony. And that's the end. I went over a few minutes. I'm trying to get better at it. Thank you.